technology can be a barrier and make work more complicated, even though it's supposed to make us more productive. And that regardless of the technology, the humanity is always going to be more relevant and important over time.
That's Dan Schaubel, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Dan Schaubel is a best-selling author, partner and research director at Future Workplace, and the founder of both Millennial Branding and WorkplaceTrends.com. Through his companies, he's conducted research studies and worked with major brands, including American Express, GE, Microsoft, Coca-Cola, and IBM, just to name a few. He joins us to talk about the research and findings he shares in his latest book, Back to Human: How Great Leaders Create Connection in the Age of Isolation. Dan, welcome to the program.
So happy to be here.
Tell us about the inspiration. Why did you want to write this book?
There's two reasons. One is every book I write helps people get to the next phase of their career, from student to CEO. So the first book was Me 2.0. That's College to First Job. Promote Yourself as First Job to Management. And Back to Human is a leadership book because half of the people my age have a management title and above and feel isolated at work. Second part is I was interviewed for a documentary 2 years ago called The Revolution Generation, a portrait of my generation. And I was asked what the biggest challenge was. And I went through, you know, the student loan debt crisis, climate change, world war. But then I was thinking on a daily basis, what are we struggling with? Well, we're overusing and misusing technology, and that makes us feel lonely and disconnected from society. So I wrote this book explaining the problem, and then, you know, it's a how-to, so it helps you solve it as a leader or as an employee.
So as technology continues to advance, do you think this just makes the situation you described even worse, that we dependent on it so much that we're isolating ourselves even more?
Absolutely. I mean, my biggest fear is teenagers right now. Teenagers is the first group that would rather text than have an in-person meeting. And based on my research, everyone in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s would rather have an in-person meeting and be in a corporate physical office space than not have the human touch in text or email. So what people actually want is different than how they behave. But yeah, I am definitely fearful that we're really overusing it. We tap our phones over 2,600 times a day, look at the phone every 12 minutes. We send an average of 5 texts within meetings, so we're not really present. And because of that, we're missing out on those critical moments that are important to get work done, build relationships, and just be fulfilled overall.
Tell us about the research you did for this book.
Yeah, it was a lot of research. One is I partnered with Virgin Pulse through my company Future Workplace. We interviewed over 2,000 managers, employees in 10 countries. So China, India, Brazil, Germany, various countries. And we looked at the state of work connectivity globally. And the other thing I did is I interviewed 100 top young leaders at 100 of the best companies in the world. So IBM, Johnson & Johnson, Starbucks, Ernst & Young, you name it, and really got a sense of what they're going through. So I paired their stories with the quantitative data. So for instance, we found the biggest finding was if you work remote, you're much less likely to want a long-term career at your company. So working remote affects team and organizational commitment. And the other thing is half of the global workforce has 5 or fewer friends at work, and 7% have 0 friends at work, yet we spend so much time at work. So I think that's a big issue.
So tell us a bit more about the stories they shared with you. It's one thing to get the statistics, as you noted, but it's another thing to actually hear what they have to say about the role of technology and how it impacts their work life.
Yeah, there's two great examples. One of the people I interviewed, he was a speechwriter under the Obama administration, and he was tasked with writing a speech about the Ebola outbreak many years ago. And him and his manager kept going back and forth, and they were, you know, and they didn't never met in person. They never had a phone call. And then there was a last minute panic before the speech was due. And there was a lot of errors. And he admits that just with one phone call or one interaction, it could have eliminated all that and decreased the stress at the end. And then the other story I really like is an IBM executive. She's been with the company for over 10 years. And everyone says, oh, millennials only stay at a company for half a year. A lot of people I interviewed have been with their company for over a decade, which is really gratifying. And so what she said is she was working in North Carolina, and then they relocated her to New York City, which is much more expensive. And her manager took her in like she was his daughter, supported her, made sure she had the right financial situation, right connections, and was really set up for success. And I always connect this to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because she had safety, food, water, shelter, love, and relationships, she was able to be her best self at work and be self-actualized. And you know, she will eventually be get into that C-suite, right? And so I think that these stories show that technology can be a barrier and make work more complicated, even though it's supposed to make us more productive. And that regardless of the technology, the humanity is always going to be more relevant and important over time.
You covered a lot of things in your research, but was there one thing that sort of emerged as the most important finding that you want to make sure you share with people?
Yeah, just going back to what I was saying about the remote workplace, you know, a third of the global workforce works remote, yet two-thirds are disengaged and feeling isolated. And if you work remote, you're much less likely to want a long-term career at your company. And the reason why this is important is because everyone talks about the light side of working remote. You get the freedom and flexibility to work when, where, and how you want. But no one talks about the dark side, which is revealed in the research and handled with in the book, about how you're less connected, you're not getting the human touch, and that affects your relationships with yourself, with the people around you. And I mean, if you're working remote all the time and you're not seeing and hearing people, you don't feel like you belong. You don't feel like you're part of something. And over time, that wears on you.
Mm-hmm. Like, see, as a leader, then it really creates challenges about retention for your business or organization. And also, it sort of takes away that opportunity for an employee to get the mentoring that they might need to advance in their careers.
Yeah, I think that it's really important. I think across all generations, everyone can learn from each other and become better together. Chapter 3 is about shared learning. And I think that one way we can all grow and become better is as we're learning, we're constantly sharing what we know. And the average relevancy of a learned skill is only 5 years. So in order to keep up with the speed of business and the new skills that we're going to need, we have to rely on each other, learn from each other, regardless of age, gender, you know, in ethnic background. We're all in this together, and people are learning much more through other people and becoming filters for information rather than just Googling and trying to find information. So I think our best learning is going to come from other people and through experience.
Well, let's talk more about that. Obviously, your research uncovered a lot of problems with technology and how it's currently being used. But if someone's listening who's in a leadership position and they want to increase that human touch, what advice do you offer in the book?
Yeah, so the best things you can do is team building events, social events, and workations. That's what we found, to create a more socialized workforce. I think what it starts with, though, is you need a leader you can trust. You need to feel like you belong. You got to have some degree of happiness and purpose. So those are the four employee engagement factors I discuss. And so once that happens, the rest becomes much easier, because you're more likely to want to throw a birthday party for your coworker if those are in order. You're more likely to want to go to a team building activity. You're just going to be more social because the environment supports that level of socialization, because people trust each other.
Well, I thought it was interesting. You were talking before about, I think you said something like a third of the people work from home, but two-thirds of the people altogether feel sort of disconnected. So that means a lot of people who are physically at work are still being isolated by the technology, even though they're actually there.
So interesting, right? And it's what I've been thinking about over the past few months. It's like, wow, even if you're in a physical office surrounded by a lot of people, you could be isolated. Like, I just, even when I was working at a big company, I was having lunch at my desk, right? And I wasn't thinking about the fact that each opportunity, every time I was having lunch at my desk, that was time I could have spent with the people around me. And I think that a lot of people fall into this trap because we're all in our little bubbles. And so just one little act a day of getting coffee with a coworker can really make a big difference, because overall, if you want to be happier and live longer, you need social integration. That's why people in Sardinia, Italy live to over 100 years old, is because they're constantly, you know, talking to people throughout the day, and they have real purpose through the land and they eat well. And so I think we can learn something from that and start to think about the social interactions we're having through the day, not just with our coworkers or family. Everything adds up to becoming more socialized and feeling more attached to society and connected.
I'm wondering about advice that you might specifically have for people who are, you know, like most businesses, there's multi-generations working there. So how do you find commonality to develop this human touch that's going to be so critical as we move forward?
Well, we all have basic needs. There's five things that I think of is we need safety, shelter, food, love, relationships. We need purposeful work, and we need, you know, the support to be able to achieve our, you know, biggest dreams and be able to really leverage our strengths to make an impact. I think it's really important to get back to human, to ensure that you're getting the right connections every day, that your team is hearing from you as a leader or even if you're an employee. And the more you establish touch points, for instance, recognizing an employee, sharing something you know, getting coffee, all of these things add up to making people feel like they're a part of something. And when they do feel that way, they're going to be more productive. They're going to be able to bring their full self into the workplace, share their best ideas, and stay with you longer, which is going to end up saving you more money, even if it costs you money to throw a social event.
Dan, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Dan Schaubel's book is Back to Human: How Great Leaders Create Connection in the Age of Isolation. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.